Welcome back to another eye-opening episode of Talking Lamar. In our previous episode, I doled out facts about the original Ghostbusters movie. This time, I'm telling you some interesting things about Ghostbusters Afterlife, some things that you might have forgotten or you just don't know. This is in anticipation of the upcoming movie, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. So let's get to it.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
Sorry, I forgot what I was talking about.
What are you talking about?
I am talking to you.
That's just what I was talking about.
It's Talking Lamar.
You know, we're all waiting. If we're Ghostbusters fans, we're all waiting for the new movie to come out. And on our last episode, we talked about the original Ghostbusters, and we revisited a lot of different things. And we just got through the last episode, or the last movie of Ghostbusters was The Afterlife. And it was really good. It was really good. I think they did a really good job. And we're going to talk about that a little bit today to get sort of polished up as we get ready to go to the next one. And you may recall in the opening scenes of Ghostbuster 2, which really, I don't know, it's hard to come past the first one. It really is. I mean, once you make Ghostbusters, you got to make number 2 because you don't want to lose the money, but it's really hard. It's really hard. So,
you know the expression, there's an old-fashioned expression, damning with faint praise. Yeah. So I loved how Lamar was like, Ghostbusters 2. Really? Like, I could tell you were trying to not say something nasty, but that you could bring yourself to really say something nice. I appreciated the finesse.
I will say this. If you've never seen Ghostbusters 1 and you just go pick up Ghostbusters 2, hey, it's okay. It's just Ghostbusters thing. The first one is always tough to come behind. But in Ghostbusters 2, we see the ghost-busting heroes, Winston, who's played by Ernie Hudson, and Ray, who's played by Dan Aykroyd. They've been reduced to making personal appearances at children's birthday parties so that they can make ends meet. And at such a party, they're approached by this obnoxious little kid who bluntly informs them, "My dad says you guys are full of crap." That little brat in question was, in fact, 11-year-old Jason Reitman, whose father, Ivan, was the director of the original two Ghostbuster movies. 16 years later, the younger Reitman made his own feature debut as a director with Thank You for Smoking and enjoyed a further success with Juno, Up in the Air, and Young Adult. And then he co-wrote and directed Ghostbusters Afterlife. That's a pretty cool deal. That, you know,
I did not know that.
Yes.
I love that idea.
Yeah, it's very cool. Now, Jason declared that Afterlife would give Ghostbusters back to the fans. And like I said, the Ghostbusters 2, then they did another one with an all-female cast. And I thought it was a good movie. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. But it didn't win over all the fan base. Sony had backed this thing, and they're thinking it'll make a ton of money. And when Jason Reitman announced that his attachment to a Ghostbusters movie would, again, give it back to the fans, many took this as a stab at director Paul Feig. I think there's no worse three words in the entertainment industry than director Paul Feig, but that's just my thoughts. I think he's an idiot. But I'm sorry. And
that's
he directed.
That's the, wait. That's the movie critic pull quote right there.
Can you be more direct, please?
Well, it's just honestly, I mean, every movie I've ever seen, if I really hated it, I look for the director. It's Feig. What are you doing? I mean, I don't know. He's not my man. But he did the reboot. And the backlash against his film, it was terrible. A lot of stuff from social media trolls are like, and then I understand saying the movie sucks. But then you got a bunch of these dumbasses that are talking, you know, all kinds of about the female stuff. It's all sexist and stuff about the female cast. And even some racist remarks about Leslie Jones, who I'd like to meet somebody that could explain to me how you could say anything negative. That woman is a genius. She's so smart. She's so funny. She does such a great job. So Reitman made a point of distancing himself from that contingent by saying he had nothing but admiration for director Paul Feig, which we know he was lying, but it's okay. He did what he had to do. We're going to take a little break on that note. We'll come back and talk some more.
What is only $4.99 a month but gives you such pleasure? That would be the Bob and Sherry Premium. Exclusive content from the show, including our classic chat room calls and best of CDs. You'll get behind the scenes photos and videos of not only us, but our listeners. It's a lot of fun. Just $4.99 a month. And the website to get all of this is bobandsherry.com/premium.
Welcome back. We're talking about Ghostbusters Afterlife. And for younger viewers less acquainted with the Ghostbuster movies, one of the best things they did for Afterlife is putting in teen actor Finn Wolfhard, because he is such a beloved part of Stranger Things. So that right there captures the attention of a group of people that will come to this movie. Even if they know, if a Ghostbusters was way ahead of their time, they're coming to see him. And it was also, and Stranger Things is set in the 80s, and it's got all the 80s culture stuff in there. And on one Stranger Things episode, Wolfhard's Mike and his friends dress up like Ghostbusters. So Wolfhard's wanting this role, and he told the Hollywood Reporter, he said, "I thought Jason Reitman is probably not even going to look at my audition tape because I've already done it on Stranger Things, and he wasn't sure how that would be taken or whatever. But to his good fortune, it's turned out to be awesome because he got the role of Egon Spengler's grandson, Trevor. And I think he was a bright spot in the movie. I think he did a great job in the movie. Now, when you go see Afterlife, you might recognize the character Phoebe, who's played by McKenna Grace. You might recognize her for some other stuff. She was,
Can we talk about McKenna Grace? She was in The Handmaid's Tale. She's in Young Sheldon. Yeah. She is a phenomenal talent. I don't even know how old she is. It's crazy how gifted that child is.
She's done really well. She was born in 2006. So what is that? 18?
18. Yes, and she can 18. Sing. Have you ever heard McKenna Grace sing?
She had 55 screen credits before she got to here. So, you know, she was on Young and the Restless, all this kind of stuff. But, she played Brie Larson's Carol Danvers in Captain Marvel as a flashback. But when you talk about her singing situation, oh my gosh. On top of, if you want to hear her sing, all you got to do is go see the movie. Because on top of being a very successful actress, McKenna Grace, she sang the song in the end credits of Ghostbuster Afterlife. So if you see it and you watch the end credits, she wrote Haunted House. She co-wrote it with Kincaid, and she said that the song was not written specifically for the film, but it was instead by a rough time that she went through during COVID-19 pandemic, which back then she would have been, 16? I mean, 16, you know, she's a songwriter, evidently.
This is a prodigy. Like, this child is a prodigy. And if you're wondering, who did she play on Young Sheldon? The genius girlfriend, not the girlfriend. The genius friend whose parents went through a divorce. Yeah.
Yeah. Very competitive. So they were very, very competitive. She did a tremendous job on there. She really did. I mean, and everything I've seen her in, she's been great. Josh Gad, we all know who Josh Gad is.
Right.
Right? Yeah.
From Frozen. Right.
Yeah. Well, he is making an appearance in this film. In Afterlife, and now he's best known as the voice of Olaf in the Frozen films and LeFou in the action Beauty and the Beast. But in Afterlife, he was the voice of Muncher. So evidently, he is doing so well in his voice acting, but he's great in everything else he does. I enjoy him in everything I've seen him in.
He's a really good writer, too. Thought I'd throw that in as well.
But he plays Muncher, which is sort of like Slimer in the original. But his deal is he can chew his way through anything that's metal and that kind of stuff. And Gad was a big, big super fan for Ghostbusters because he hosted a cast reunion on his YouTube series, Reunited Apart, during 2020, during the lockdown. And this is what led him to being invited to be part of the new film. And I'm always interested in Paul Rudd, wherever he's at, wherever he turns up. And he's in this movie. And he turned down Halloween Kills to take Ghostbusters Afterlife. Paul Rudd, he takes on the role of Gary Gooberson. He's a summer school science teacher, and he finds himself caught up in all this ghost stuff. But this is not his only spooky deal. He did, he was Tommy Doyle in the original 1978 Halloween, back that far. So he was going to be in Halloween Kills as a grown-up Tommy Doyle. But because he had already chosen to do the Ghostbusters Afterlife, he had to let that go. And I would have liked to have seen him in that. I mean, I think he would have done a good job. Anthony Michael Hall wound up playing the part that he would have played. But Paul Rudd, I'll show up for him anytime, anywhere. It doesn't matter. I like him a lot. Now, the problem for Ghostbusters Afterlife is it got made in 2019, which means it would have been in the theaters in 2020. Well, there's no theaters to be in 2020. So that's not really going to work out. Originally, the film was supposed to open in July of 2020, which that's a perfect spot for a big movie. That's going to be great. But that didn't happen. So they decided to do it in March of 2021. But as that date came closer, the theaters hadn't really got rolling yet. So they pushed it back to that June. And that was also missed, and they finally opened the film in November of 2021. So it got moved around a lot. But it wound up doing really well. I ain't got the numbers in front of me, but it did really well at the theater. And now Jason Reitman has hinted that there would be a sequel. It could happen, a sequel feature with Viggo from Ghostbusters 2, because the plot revolves around in Ghostbusters 2, the plot revolves around Ivo Shandor, and he's an occultist, and his efforts to bring back Gozer to end the world. Now, Ghostbusters Afterlife, they sort of came off of the original Ghostbusters, but the Ray's occult bookstore doesn't seem to be in the afterlife. Okay, everything that you saw in the original, there were a little bit of cameos in Afterlife, but they weren't that many. And they're saying that they may be trying to change, I'm not going to say franchise, but the canon of how everything works. But Reitman, he said, this is all in the same canon. We're not pretending anything is any different. It's all going to be run through the whole deal. And he said, if Afterlife gets a sequel, may go back to the Viggo guy, and you'll remember him. He was the guy in the big portrait with the long hair.
Yes.
And he was,
yeah,
he was
yeah,
the,
yeah,
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 yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah. They may go back to him if they do another one after this.
Could they bring back Peter McNichol? Oh my, he was so funny in that movie. Was great in that movie.
Yeah, yeah, he really was. He really, really was. Now here's something. Ecto-1, which is the car, the gunner seat was not in the original Ghostbusters, but this is a nod to the real Ghostbusters animated toy line. There's an animated feature vehicle of this called the real Ghostbusters, okay? And so in it, they have the Ecto-1. It's got like a thing that comes out of the roof, and you're able to, I don't know what I'm trying to say. It's like a jump seat that comes out of the roof so that you can shoot from there. Well, in Afterlife, what happens with that is the door slides open, and the jump seat comes out to the side where he can shoot the ecto gun. I'm sorry, the ecto gun. And when he first did that, I'm looking at that and I'm like, how did they do that? But they only did that because of the animated. And that's how they changed it up, because that was in the toy line. You could buy that toy, so they went ahead and made it a fun detail. A third Ghostbusters movie has been in development since the 90s. Ghostbusters 2 didn't do well, of course. And so Peter Venkman, played by Bill Murray, they had expressed a particular reluctance to make another film because things weren't going that great. But Dan Aykroyd, who wrote a Ghostbusters 3 Hellbent, which would have been really going, them going to hell, it was too dark, and they just didn't want to do it. And Ben Stiller cited he possibly was supposed to be in that film, but the film just struggled to gain any kind of momentum. Nobody wanted to do it. And so Paul Feig was given the go-ahead for the outright reboot of the series that he did in 2016. I just cringe every time I see his name. He wears me out. He really does. Now, in the climactic showdown where Phoebe teams up with the original Ghostbusters to take down Gozer, they find themselves with one ghost on their side, and that is when Egon Spengler himself appears. CGI was, of course, done, and it recreated him. And there's some controversy about that, but that was so surreal when he showed up as a ghost. And it was really, what did you think? Did you think it was a good thing for them to bring him back, Max, when you saw it?
Yeah, it's probably a good idea. I don't know that the problem with that movie, it seemed like that there was it was like somebody made a cake and there was an ingredient missing. It's like, yeah, okay, there was some chocolate there and there was some eggs and there was some stuff, but there was something that
but
was missing.
But it didn't rise. It didn't rise. It got no lift. And I have to say, Lamar, I agree with Max in that assessment, and I'm just here for you to take another swing at the director.
I'll tell you who was great in that movie. It was Kate McKinnon. She was great. I'll watch her in commercials. I think she's so great.
Listen, I don't care what Kate McKinnon does. I don't care what she does. She is on it. She's on point every time. I mean, I love her. I loved her in Barbie.
She stole the Barbie movie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. She stole the Barbie movie as Weird Barbie. Yeah, she's fantastic.
Yeah. Ghostbusters Afterlife. It's a film about family. It's got a lot of deals on both sides of the camera. And it's about the grandchildren of Egon Spengler picking up where he left off. And Jason Reitman, who also co-wrote the script, him taking over from his father at the helm of the franchise, that's just a cool thing. It's a very, very cool thing. And, you know, them making Egon come back live on the set just seemed to be weird. You know, it just seemed to be weird.
You know whose fault that probably was, though? Paul was like, everybody's going to think this is a bad idea, but I think we should do it. And,
Yeah.
I saw him kick an old lady once in a grocery store parking lot. And when she fell down, he laughed and said, "Ha ha ha, you're old." And then he ran away. I saw that. I did.
I'll tell you something that I think is cool in this. When they brought back Ernie Hudson as Winston, they've changed it up a little bit. He was probably, out of the original Ghostbusters, he was the least probably developed character, I guess, in the original. And he didn't get as many funny lines as his co-star, and he has no background in science back then. So Ghostbusters 2 did a little bit on this. He was a fifth wheel as far as that goes. But when they brought him back to this, he has been to college, and he has a degree in science. And if you notice, he helped them develop, what wound up beating the ghost. And so they got him educated since that came up. And I think that was, you know, that was pretty cool. I mean, I like that part because I like him. I like Ernie Hudson in anything he's ever been in.
I think Ray, Ernie Hudson, I agree with you, Lamar. And you know how, like, you don't really know these people, but there's something about Ernie Hudson that radiates pure decency. Have you not ever thought that when you watch him and stuff? Like, Ernie
anything
Hudson,
anything he does.
He did
Ernie
more.
Hudson would never steal a child's allowance the way Paul Feig did that one time. Like,
no, that's
just took the money right out of that little baby's hand. Ernie Hudson would never do that, ever.
Ernie Hudson was in more scenes in the first Ghostbusters, but they cut them for time reasons. They cut him a lot of it out. And he was not happy about it. And I can't remember. I think it was... one of them. It might have even been Ivan Reitman who just said, "Look, you can't get your feelings hurt by this. There's no intent. We're not trying to exclude you. It's just that we're having some time problems."
I didn't notice it in the credits because I always sit through the credits, but I didn't notice this in the credits. But in Afterlife, in the credits, Hudson's role is credited as Dr. Winston Sedmore. Which is pretty cool for him to be elevated to a doctor. Now, Reitman came up with a story about this after he imagined a 12-year-old girl as a Ghostbuster. And, you know, he did this, and this sort of proves for him that he didn't feel like Ghostbusting was just a boys' club. The 12-year-old girl he imagined became McKenna Grace's Phoebe. That's how he picked her for the role, that he thought she would be the perfect girl to be the 12-year-old girl that was busting ghosts. And he said, "I don't know why she popped into my head, but," he said, "I saw her with a proton pack in her hand, and I wrote the story, and everything went from there." They asked Rick Moranis to make a cameo, but he declined. And he sort of really...
He's an interesting human being. You know, his wife died, and he left acting to take care of and raise his children.
Yeah, like he did a really great...
People always wonder, like, how can you walk away from fame and fortune? Well, let's ask Rick Moranis. I mean, I think he'd had enough of both. And, I'm not surprised that we can't get him back.
But they say that he is poised to return in a movie with Josh Gad in Shrunk, which will be something like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. That'll be his first time back. And they're saying that's in the works. So
I love it. He's a really fun actor to watch. And I think his youngest really is probably in college now. So, now he could. You know, aren't we the most hypocritical little monkeys as a culture? Because we're constantly ranting and ranting, but the children! And then when someone does something to try to, like, take care of their children, we're like, "You're an asshole! His wife died! Cut the man like an inch of slack, you can't win."
No, but when somebody walks away, and he's fortunate. See, most people couldn't do that. Most people would have to care for their wife and probably still be working. But he was probably smart with his money. He had made enough money, and so he walked away. At the time, and it may have went up a little bit since then, I do have the figures on Ghostbusters Afterlife. It's earned $120 million, and it got a 63 rating at Rotten Tomatoes. Now, 63 is not great. But there's a lot of movies that Rotten Tomatoes says is 63%, and I've enjoyed the heck out of it. And I enjoyed this. I thought it was really, really good. You know, I mean, you're still going against the original.
Not everything has to be Killers of the Flower Moon, right? Not everything has to be an important, historically and socially significant masterpiece. There was a reason why Alf was a giant hit on television for a very long time. Because you get it handed to you right and left all day long. You come home, you clean up dog poop, you feed the family, you fold some laundry, and then you just want some mindless, fun entertainment. It drives me crazy when somebody goes after like Ghostbusters, like, well, you know, it's okay. Yeah. Well, then why, sweetheart, stay home and read Moby Dick? Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Act like it's Shakespeare, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That Ghostbusters Afterlife was a fun movie to watch from top to bottom.
Yes,
it was a fun movie to watch.
Yeah. And what's wrong with fun? Just it's enough that it was fun. Right? Can it just be fun?
Well, listen, if we only watched stuff that rated 85 and above, we wouldn't have much to watch. I mean, you know, and if you'll notice this, there's always two scores. There's a Rotten Tomatoes score, and then there's the audience score. When you see a 63 on Rotten Tomatoes, you can easily see a 90 on the audience score. And who does the movie want to impress? The audience is what's paying. The critics are not paying. It's the audience that's paying. So if I'm doing movies, I'm paying attention to that audience score. Because if they like what I'm putting out, they're going to come see it. So now, Frozen.
What's wrong with that? Like, there's nothing wrong with something just being fun and silly. And it's also perfectly okay if it's just for the fandom, right?
Yes.
If you're not a... Like, think about all the movies that have... Like, especially in the Marvel universe, right? Where you're either part of that fandom or you're not. You know, you're either part of the Outlander fandom or you're not. And it's okay if you're not. And it's okay for the people who are to have something just for them.
Yeah. And if you're in that fandom, you're not really caring what I'll decide for myself because I'm a fan. You know, if it's terrible, you got to prove it to me. If I'm a fan, and that's, you know, once you get to that point, that's how Ghostbusters is going to be. I mean, think about all the decades of people that have been had a Ghostbusters movie available.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw it when I was fairly young, you know, and now I've got 2 feet away from the grave and another one's coming out. So, you know, you got... I think it's going to do well. Now, Frozen Empire is going to be released on the 22nd of March. Hoping they don't do anything else wrong, but, you know. And the Spengler family is going to return to where it all started, New York City, to that firehouse. And they're going to team up with the original Ghostbusters, who developed a top secret research lab. And they're going to take this whole thing to the next level. And when they discover this ancient artifact, it unleashes this evil force. Ghostbusters all have to join together, the new and the old, join forces to protect everybody from becoming this big ice age. Listen, I've seen the previews for the thing. I'm very excited for the new one. I feel really good about it. I think it's going to be great. And I'm looking forward to seeing it. And I think a lot of people are, too.
Yeah. And if you're not one of them, like if you're like, I thought Ghostbusters was stupid. Then please go see something else. Like, and let the fans have their thing. They've waited a long time for it. And you don't know what makes a person a fan. Like, maybe they saw Ghostbusters for the first time when they were 11 with their dad, and it's got all this nostalgia. And so, just let them have the thing they like. Unless they're peeling it out of your wallet, why do you care? I just don't understand it, Lamar.
Yeah. There's a ton of movies that come out that I don't care anything about. You know what? I don't go see it. I don't go see it. If I don't care anything about it, I don't go see it. And that's what I say everybody else ought to do. So,
why is that hard? Why is that controversial?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this insightful episode of Talking Lamar. Now, you are ready to dazzle your friends and family with all of your new Ghostbusters knowledge. So you can go ahead and point out some different things to them and get some kudos from them. We've had fun. Hope you did. If you didn't, you don't owe me not one dime. Don't send me anything if you didn't have a great time. But whatever you do, do not stop listening because I hate a quitter. Till next time. Thank you so much for listening to Talking Lamar, the Oddcast, and the Bob and Sherry Podcast. We would really love it if you would subscribe, rate and review, and share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again for listening.